Hallo Jelle. Hallo oom. Hallo Tannie. Vir die van julle wat nie weet nie, hulle kom van Namibia af. Dis Frank en Anneke se maanpa. Of Frank se maanpa nie, Anneke se maanpa nie. Dis lekker om julle hier te hê. Welkom. Ja, so vir die van julle wat my nie ken nie, my naam is Cody. En dis regtig 'n voorreg om hier te staan en net bietjie met julle te deel wat ek voel die Here op my hart gelê het. So soos julle kan sien, ek gaan nie net myself voorstel in Afrikaans nie, maar ek gaan eintlik vandag probeer preek in Afrikaans. So ons gaan kyk hoe dit gaan. Ek moet sê my skrifte is nog steeds in Engels, maar ons vat klein tree. Ek dink ons wil nie, ek dink ja, gelukkig julle ken my en julle verwagtinge is nie te hoog nie. So ek voel ek I'm already, nee. Daar's genade. Julle moet my help. So vandag wil ek bietjie praat oor 'n ewigheidsperspektief. Having an eternal perspective. Marlies, het jy daai foto? Kan jy hom sommer gou vir my opsit asseblief? Okay. So daar's 'n glas met nie water nie, ek weet nie wat dit is nie. Maar dis ja, so julle kan sien, half full, half empty. So ek dink ons het almal gehoor van hierdie of foto's gesien van dit. 'n glass half full of glass half empty. En dit het alles te doen met jou perspektief. Hoe sien jy dit? Is dit vir jou leeg of is dit vol? En ek dink, natuurlijk is party mense bietjie meer optimisties. Ander nie noodwendig nie. Ek wil regtig vandag praat van die net hoe belangrik ons perspektief is. En hoe krachtig 'n perspektief eintlik is. En net wat die waarheid is in skrif en die Here se verwagting van ons. So jy kan sommer daai foto oplos, Marlies. Ek wil net 'n storie vertel. Ek was vandag ek rig hokkie af in die Parel by Boys High en nadat ons klaar, ons het 'n toernooi gespeel en het ons laaste wedstrijd vanoggend gespeel en toe daarna gaan ek gou Spar toe om iets te kry om te eet. En toe ek by Spar inry in die Parel, toe staan 'n ou wat buite staan by die hek en hy verkoop soos houtkruis wat hy gekerf het en ander soos mannetjies en sekere tipe goed wat hy nou self met sy hand gemaak het. En ek ry verby en ek klim uit en ek stap verby hom en ek sê hallo vir hom en ek gaan in die winkel in en ek kom uit en hy is toe baie vriendelik. Ek gaan in, ek het verwag hy gaan vir my nou dit probeer verkoop en hy het vir my hallo gesê en toe het ek verby gestap. En ek stap toe in en ek kom toe uit en ek stap weer verby hom. En ek klim in my kar en soos wat ek uitry en ek kyk vir hom en ek ry uit, voel ek die Here lê dit op my hart soos daar's ek sy geleentheid om met die ou te praat, soos hy hou 'n kruis vas, like he's literally saying, please come and preach the gospel to me, so dis ek soos, cool, toe in my, en daarom ek soos, yes Here, ek is klaar in die kar, ek moet nou hier inkom, en as ek nou in die Parelpad inkom, is dit nou moeite om terug te kom, maar toe ek soos, ek dink, daar's 'n geleentheid, en onlangs is die Here regtig besig om 'n werk in my te doen, om net daai gedeelte van my, wat bang is van wat mense dink, van my, om daai gedeelte dood te maak. So ek was soos, okay, hier is 'n goeie geleentheid om net, soos, let's die to self. So toe ry ek, en toe parkeer ek, en toe stap ek terug. En terwyl ek terug stap na hom, like psyching myself up, getting ready to share the gospel with him. En ek kom toe by hom, en ek sê toe, hy, soos, ek stel myself toe voor, his name is Colin, en hy vertel toe so bietjie, hy is 15 jaar al in die Parel, en toe vraag ek vir hom oor die kruis, soos, het jy dit self gemaak? Hy sê toe ja, en ek vraag hom, soos, weet jy wat dit beteken, waarvoor dit staan, like what it symbolizes, en hy sê toe ja, dis salvation, en sy verhouding met die Here, en so toe vertel hy vir my sy story, en dat hy, ek sê al van 19, ek denk 85 is hy al gered, en hy vertel toe net bietjie sy story, en ek het hom toe probeer net aanmoedig, en iets wat hy vir my gesê het, is ek vraag toe vir hom, soos, hoe ervaar jy jou verhouding met die Here, en hy sê toe vir my, maar elke dag wat hy opstaan, en hy like he's got breath in his lungs. He's thankful. And with that, he's able to go on. I said, daar's mense in die hospitaal wat nie die voorreg het wat hy het nie, om asem te kan haal. En hy soos, dis vir hom a blessing. En met daai perspektief, he's pushing on. En dit was nogal vir my interessant, want it was really like I could feel that it was genuine. Like he was just having an honest conversation with me. En hy het gesê soos, letterlik, as ek opstaan en ek het asem in my longe, is ek dankbaar en ek van daar af gaan ek aan en I shared with him en ek het hom aangemoedig en toe gaan ek aan en ek stap toe weg en net in voorbereiding vir my preek, toe voel ek druk nogal op mijn hart, maar yes, just how powerful. Dank je, Hildegard. Just how powerful the perspective can be. Waar in sy geval, ek dink daar's baie goed waaroor hy kan kla, as hy sou wou. Dis moontlik sy eie foute of sy besluite wat hom op daai plek gekry het in die lewe, maar hy kon baie maklik negatief wees. En selfs ek wil nie by Spar staan en 'n houtkruise verkoop nie. I'm not sure if that sounds bad, but that's just the reality. Like, as ek 'n lewe kon kies, is dit nie die lewe wat ek sou kies nie, maar net sy perspektief en hoe hy doelbewus 'n besluit maak, en hy kan kies om negatief te wees elke dag as hy wil, maar sy fokus is tot 'n mate, denk ek, op die regte plek, en hy sê, hey, as ek hierdie het, is ek dankbaar, en met daai attitude, jy weet, pak ek die lewe aan, en ek gaan aan. En it was really powerful vir my, en net soos met hierdie prentjie, waar dis 'n besluit, wat ons maak daagliks, hoe ons die lewe aanpak, met watse perspektief, as iets met my gebeur, of ek gaan en ek doen iets, met watse perspektief, jy weet, do I kind of take it on. En met daai wil ek sommer vir ons kyk, Marlies, as jy 2 Korintiërs 4, vers 16 tot 18. Therefore we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. En dan kan jy sommer ook 1 Petrus 5 vers 10. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. En ons kan sien in beide verse verwys die skrywers na 'n lyding, na lyding in 'n kort termyn. So dit hy verwys na dit in 'n kort termyn van tyd. In 2 Korintiërs sê hy, for these light and momentary afflictions. In 1 Petrus sê hy, that even though you have suffered a little while. En in 2 Korintiërs is dit Paulus wat skryf, en hy verwys na sy eie, net die goed wat deur hy gegaan het, in sy lewe, en van sy perspektief af is dit, I don't know the direct translation, but it's light and it's momentary. En ek wil nie sê gewoonlik as ons iets deurgaan wat moeilik is, voel dit nie lig en dit voel nie asof dit 'n kort tydperk is nie. Dit voel gewoonlik asof dit vir ewig is wat nou hierdie ding deurdra en of jy sit op 'n slegte plek of iets gaan verkeerd en dit voel nie altyd baie kort nie. En selfs in 1 Petrus 5, Petrus skryf vir die kerk. Hy skryf daar's 'n paar kerke wat die brief ontvang, maar hy skryf dit na hulle want hulle they're busy facing persecution. En in daai sê vir hulle, this little while. And he's encouraging, saying, and the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. In al twee verse, as het kom by die natuurlik, word het verwys in 'n kort termyn van tyd. And it's weighed up against something that's lasting and eternal. En ons kan sien, dis ten minste wat ek glo, is dat die enigste manier hoe mens kan praat, soos wat Paulus doen oor sy eie lewe en dit wat hy deurgegaan het, want ek dink hy het 'n swaar lewe gehad. En in dieselfde manier vir die kerk, aan wie Petrus skryf, ek dink die enigste manier hoe mens so dit kan aanpak, is as mens 'n ewigheidsperspektief het. Daar is 'n spesifieke perspektief wat Petrus en Paulus het, wat ek dink toelaat dat hulle so kan praat. Want ek weet natuurlik, as ek deur iets moeilik gaan, is my natural response is not, oh, okay, cool, it's light, it's momentary, it's gonna be done soon. Or it's gonna be over, and then we can move on. En ek het regtig besef, dat daai perspektief is nie net baie belangrik, maar dis regtig iets wat die Here vir ons moet kom gee, want ek het bietjie gaan kyk na Paulus se lewe, en net ek sien wat gebeur het met hom, en wat hy ervaar het, en ek, eerlik waar julle, ek dink as een van daai goed met my sou gebeur, like it would be, like, he got, just net 'n voorbeeld, this is off the top of my head, not even in the notes, but I think he was shipwrecked 3 times, he was stoned, and he was dead, and then he resurrected. Eerlijk waar, ek denk, if one of us gets stoned and you die and you get resurrected, it's like, okay, soos ek weet nie hoe ek sou aangaan nie. Dit is like and so net om te kyk fisies na sy lewe en wat met hom gebeur het en die manier hoe hy net aangegaan het en die manier hoe hy gepraat het verwys na ewigheidsperspektief wat nie iets is wat mens net like it's not just a decision I can make but it's something that God has to help me to have and to walk with. Maar ek wil sê dat ons kan daarby uitkom en dat die Here se hart is dat ons met daai manier met daai perspektief sal lewe daagliks. En ek gaan bietjie later 'n paar voorbeelde in ons eie midde uitlig van mense wat ek dink tot 'n mate al daai perspektief het. En ja, net hoe moontlik dit is. Jy weet, as die Here die een is wat dit doen. So ek wil sê die doel is ewigheidsperspektief, maar natuurlik as ons is daagliks in die werk met sekere vriende, met familie dalk, is mens you're surrounded by the world. En mense wat lewe met 'n baie what's the word? Temporary Afrikaans. Tydelike met 'n tydelike perspektief. Want alles het te doen met wat ek nou kan doen, wat gebeur môre of hoe kan ek die volgende ding aanpak? Ek moet net en ek dink Mike het laasweek daarna verwys, die wêreldse perspektief is okay, ons moet maandag survive, dinsdag, woensdag, donderdag tot ons by Vrydag uitkom, dan kan ons die naweek geniet en dan kan ons weer aangaan. Waar die perspektief is baie tydelik. Dit het te doen met my lewe, wat my affekteer, waardeur ek gaan om dit net te maak. En dit het ook te doen met die feit dat ek het een lewe en ek moet nou vir my koninkryk of ek moet 'n toekoms vir myself bou wat die moeite werd is. So ek wil sê dat ek dink dit is baie moeilik baie keer as 'n gelowige omdat ons omring is met mense wat die verkeerde perspektief het en 'n baie tydelike perspektief het en gereeld na hulle self kyk. En ek dink met daai is ons eie neiging wat maar baie natuurlik is om ook so te dink, om ook seker goed aan te pak in daai manier. Waar ek dink as jy in 'n sekere werkomstandighede is vir lank genoeg rondom mense wat die hele tyd kla oor hulle werk, die ding, daai ding, dit gaan jou affekteer. En na rukkie, al wil jy dit nie so hê nie, gaan jy moontlik ook die wêreld begin sien deur daai perspektief. So ek wil doelbewus sê dat ek glo die Here wil vandag waarheid bring wat vir ons 'n geleentheid is om ons perspektief te verander, maar ook om toe te laat dat hy dalk vir jou wil kom wys dat daar sekere areas waar jou perspektief bietjie skeef is. En daar sekere goed wat natuurlik is wat van buite af ons perspektief kom beïnvloed het. En die groot ding, ek dink baie kere wanneer dit skeefloop is wanneer ons oë van Jesus af draai en dit draai natuurlik op onsself. En dis baie keer daai battle wat ons beklei daagliks om ons oë te hou op Jesus en nie op onsself nie. So ek wil net regtig nou vir 'n oomblik amper net gedeeltes van skrif lees want waarheid bring wat ek voel iets gaan shift vir ons in verwysing met net ons ewigheidsperspektief. So John 14 verse 1 to 3. Do not, and dis nou Jesus wat praat, do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. So ons sien hierso dat Jesus praat met die disippels en dis nou wat hy nader en nader gekom het aan die dag wat hy gaan sterwe op die kruis en hy sê vir hulle soos ek's op pad. En later aan sê hy vir hulle julle weet hoe om daarby uit te kom. En Thomas sê vir Jesus maar soos jy sê like how do we get there? What is the road? En dis waar Jesus vir hulle sê in daai skrif wat ons almal ken, I am the way, the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. En ek dink voor ek wil aangaan, wil ek net sê dat in daai stuk in Johannes 14 sê Jesus, hy is die waarheid. Hy as 'n persoon is die waarheid. En as en dis 'n interessante konsep as die persoon wat waarheid is iets sê, how trustworthy is it not? Nee? The person that is truth. He's the very essence of truth. He's truth in human form. Speaks a word. How reliable is it not? How trustworthy is it not? And with that, we see him saying, but I am going to my father's house where there's many rooms, and I'm preparing a place for you. And how many of us actually believe, like if you just look at yourself as an individual, that Jesus is saying that for you as Viepia, for you as Andre, for you as Janie, I'm going and I'm preparing a place for you in my house, a room for you, where you will belong. And with that truth, actually turning our gaze, our perspective on the fact that no matter what happens, this is our reality. And there's a quote by Randy Alcorn, where he says, when you live in light of eternity, your focus changes from what you can't keep to what you can't lose. And simply what he's saying is that when we're looking at eternity, we no longer worry about what we are going to lose on earth or what we have to give up on earth, but we're so focused actually on what we can't lose in heaven, which in this case is a room in the house of God, established and prepared for you. Not because we're special, like in the wrong way, but because of who Jesus is and the fact that he was willing to give his life and that we now belong to him and that we are his sons and daughters. And with that, ek dink net 'n praktiese voorbeeld. Ek dink as enige van ons hier gesit het, en ek weet nie hoe baie van julle hou van hierdie konsep nie, so it might excite some of you more than others, maar as daar 'n manager was van 'n hotel in Mauritius, wat nou kom na jou toe en sê, luister, ek het hierdie 5-ster hotel, ek wil hê jy moet daar kom bly. Ek is besig om hierdie kamer, the penthouse suite or whatever, like the best room that there is, I'm busy preparing it for you. Ek maak het reg met al die dinge. Jy mag kom en jy mag actually eet van al die dinge. Ek weet, partij van ons het al op vakantie gegaan en dan bly in die kamer en sê jou pa vir jou, daai goed, jy mag jy raak aan daai goed, want mens betaal extra vir alles. Ek weet, dit was altyd die ergste vir my. Dis gewone M&M's, maar dit lyk soveel beter as die in die winkel. Want, en dis soos, maar, ja, ons mag hulle nooit geëet het nie. Maar hy sê, jy kan kom en alles is vir jou, maar dis net vir jou wat ek het reg maak. En hy gaan weg en hy sê, okay, cool, ek gaan in 'n maand terugkom. Hoe, like, as jy nou elke dag dan nou werk toe gaan, jy gaan aan met jou gewone lewe. Maak nie saak eintlik wat gebeur nie, daar's 'n gedeelte van jou wat kan sê, maar dit maak nie saak of vandag sleg is of goed nie, want die manager kom en ek gaan Mauritius toe, en ek gaan in die hotel gaan bly. En amper in daai selfde manier is God se hart dat ons met daai anticipation, afwachting, I had it, I was too scared to say it. Ek was bang dit was verkeerd. Dat ons met daai afwachting so sit elke dag daagliks en wees soos, joh Here, maak nie saak wat gebeur nie, U kom terug vir my. Hy kom terug vir ons. Hy kom terug vir sy kerk, vir sy bruid. En net die geleentheid wat ons het as gelowiges is om ons perspektief te draai na ewigheid en te sê, daar is iets daar wat ek nie kan verloor nie. Maak nie saak wat op aarde gebeur nie. Maak nie saak wat skeefloop nie. Maak nie saak what I face on a daily basis. Daar is 'n huis vir my wat reg is. 'N kamer wat die Here hou vir my. En soos wat ek nou hierdie skrifte gelees het, daar's 'n sekerheid wat ons het dat Jesus terugkom. Daar's 'n sekerheid wat ons het dat ons elkeen 'n plek het in die hemel saam met hom. Daar's 'n sekerheid dat in ewigheid met hom, en dis in 'n ander skrif, maar ons sien in Openbaring dat Jesus sê dat daar gaan, there will be no pain and no suffering in heaven, no more tears. En ons sien ook hierso waar Paulus skryf en he speaks about an eternal weight of glory. Okay? I'm not sure what it is, but it sounds great, guys. Okay? No, I'm just joking. I'm going to explain. So, an eternal weight of glory. So, this in 2 Corinthians, waar hy sê, this light and momentary affliction, it's not that bad because there's this eternal weight of glory that awaits every believer. And I went to go find A.W. Tozer, writes about the eternal weight of glory, and he says the eternal weight of glory is the infinite, priceless treasure of God's presence and favor that awaits the believer. It is a glory so substantial and enduring that the fleeting hardships of this life are nothing in comparison. While our bodies waste away, our souls are being prepared for a splendor that lasts forever. A glory so heavy, so full of divine brilliance and joy, that it makes all earthly pain insignificant. En ek wil regtig sê dat ek glo met my hele hart dat deur die krag van die Heilige Gees is hierdie perspektief moontlik vir elkeen van ons. Waar ons so, we're so in the Word of God, in what He has for us, that no matter what you're facing, where you're going, en ek sê dit nou soos daaglikse lewe, waar jy jouself bevind in jou werk, met jou kinders, by jou huis, as 'n student in jou studies, dat mens met daai perspektief alles kan aanpak. En net hoe anderste ek glo ons lewe sou wees. En ek sê nie, dit sou noodwendig makliker wees nie, maar ek glo selfs the extent to which we'd be able to endure would be so much different. En ek wil regtig sê dat 'n ewigheidsperspektief beïnvloed alles in ons lewe. Laasweek Sondag het Mike gepreek oor werk, like finding joy in the workplace. And even what he said, I don't believe it's possible without an eternal perspective. Or ek dink the extent to which we're able to enjoy work will be so much greater with an eternal perspective. And I say that because I can approach work and now I'm facing difficulty in my job, and all that my job is to me, if I'm unsaved, is perhaps a means of earning money, or perhaps even a place where I find purpose, and it's about just enduring each day, and hopefully getting to the weekend, so that I can get my paycheck, and then we move on to the next space. But now, when I approach my work with an eternal perspective, and I recognize that I'm able to glorify God in this, and that He wants to use my work to prepare me for what is to come, for His return, the purpose, the role, the value that work has all of a sudden changes. So I really believe that God's heart is that this idea of an eternal perspective would influence our lenses so that everything that we approach will look from this place. Does that make sense? And I mean, you can really fill in the blank when it comes to what it influences in your life. And I realize even as a just the idea, and this is something that is foreign to people, and especially currently, is the idea of hope. That no matter what you face, you can hope in the Lord because He's coming back. And that's why the scripture speaks about Jesus being the living hope in 1 Peter. Because He's alive and He's our hope. We hope in Him and He's returning. So we have a living hope. So every day, like Colin said, there's a reason to rejoice and a reason to actually move forward because of what lies ahead for us. And ek wil sê, daar's 'n ander skrif, excuse, nie skrif nie, maar daar's 'n ander quote, waar C.S. Lewis, and I'm going to paraphrase, but he says, wait, let me see, I think I might actually have it. Here it is. He says, aim at heaven and you will get earth thrown in. Aim at earth and you will get neither. En net die rol wat die aarde speel vir ons as mense verander heeltemal as jy dit met 'n ewigheidsperspektief aanpak. Waar it finds its rightful place. My job, my family, my house, everything finds its rightful place when I'm looking to God and I'm living for heaven. And then it's able to serve me and add, and I'm able to enjoy that which God has given me. But as soon as I'm living for earth, at some point earth is going to waste away and I won't go to heaven. So I'll have neither. And just God's desire for us, as we see in scripture, to be able to have this perspective so that we're able to be more fruitful in the spaces that we find ourselves. What's for? Okay, hey, let's go. En ek dink party van julle sal sê, en voor ek aangaan, ek wil regtig sê, ek wil nie minder maak van dit wat ons, like, I don't want to make less of what we're facing in our daily lives, and the struggles that we're facing. Selfs soos wat ek in gesprek is met mense van Mike se preek laas week, it was very relevant to all of us, well, to most of us, as it kom by net to really try and find joy in the workplace. En ek wil sê dat as much as what we don't want to make less of what we're facing, We don't want to allow what we're facing to change our perspective, that we like we slide into this negative mindset. En ek wil regtig sê, scripture encourages us in many places to be grateful, to be thankful. And it's a principle, and this is a pretty cool thought, but gratitude is a principle that is so powerful that even unbelievers are affected by it. And I say it in this way, that if you're unsaved and you live a and you try and practice gratitude, it will affect you positively. How much more? And I mean, what they have to be grateful for is just a perspective of like, okay, cool, thank you God that I have maybe more than this guy. Or they might not say thank you God, but they're just thankful that they have more than someone else. Whereas we are able to take it all the way to Jesus, thank you that no matter what happens on earth, there is an eternity secured with you. And that right there is, I think, the very thing that can outweigh no matter, like anything that you're facing in your life. That whatever you step into and it's like, oh, this is difficult, there's an opportunity and there's a moment to choose to say, I'm either going to be negative and shift and approach this the way the world would, or actually, Lord, help me to have a positive perspective and to approach this with the right mindset, knowing that eternity is set with you and that no matter what happens, I'll be with you. En daar's party van julle wat moontlik sou sê, soos, maar Cody, dis moeilik. Dis regtig moeilik. En jy dink dalk vir jouself dat jy nie so geestelik is soos Paulus nie. Of soos Paulus was nie. Because he was like, he was a serious guy. En ek dink, ek het al 'n foto gesien wat Andrew gepost het op Facebook. Dis so 'n meme waar dis soos die verskillende tipe Spider-Mans. En dan is dit die regte Spider-Man en onder sê dit Jesus. Dan sit daai ouetjie van Spider-Verse and then it says Paul and then it's like a guy with a Spider-Man costume and it says Andrew. En net daai vergelyking van soos ons probeer, we try to imitate Paul the way he imitated Christ, but like the way he lived for Jesus was next level. But just because he was able to live for God the way that, I mean the fact that he was, is actually an opportunity for us, because I believe with the power of the Holy Spirit, Paul just made decisions. And for us, we have the same Spirit available and the option to make decisions that will either take us into the way that God wants us to or not. En met dit bygesê, in ons midde, en ek het van gevra voor die tyd of ek het kan noem, maar daar is party van julle wat moontlik bewus is van Tannie Elsa se situasie op die oomblik, en dat sy was veronderstel om laasweek Vrydag te gaan vir 'n operasie om kanker uit te haal, to take out a tumor, and unfortunately it was postponed. Maar ons het in die week het ons 'n deacons meeting gehad waar Konrad net gevra het soos hy, kan almal net sê soos hoe hulle doen, hoe voel ons, hoe gaan dit met die lewe, of wat druk ons af? En toe kom dit by Tannie Elsa, en toe natuurlik het ons verwag soos dis moeilik, dinge gaan sleg. En ons was daar om like to encourage her and to pick her up, because it was like it's natural that as a family they're facing difficulty. And she started speaking just about how positive she is because she's trusting in the Lord and she knows that no matter what happens, Jesus has her and that he has a plan and that he is in control. And I was so shocked by just the perspective and the way that she approached her situation, where I was like, I can't imagine how I'd respond if I was in your situation. And just to see that in our midst, that eternal perspective is possible. And just how influential it is, and how much of a testimony of God and the Holy Spirit living inside of you, when you're facing something difficult, being able to say or speak the way that she does. En met dit bygesê, Tannie Elsa is baie spesiaal. So it's not that easy. She is special. Maar dit is regtig, dis moontlik, en ek wil vir Tannie regtig eer vir dit en wat Tannie toelaat om net die Here, dan laat die Here reg toe om te werk. En dis ja, it's amazing. Dis regtig, dis moontlik for each and every one of us to have this eternal perspective and to approach life in a way that helps us honor God. En ek het een keer gehoor wat 'n ou gesê het, as believers, we need to be optimists. And I was wrestling with that because I'm a bit of a realist. Like, I'm kind of like what you see is what you get, in the sense that if this is the situation, like even that scripture where it says, believe the best, I struggle with that verse. I really struggle with that, because if I know someone's maybe doing something wrong, it's like, okay, but this is what they're doing. Why am I supposed to believe that they're not, that maybe they're doing it better? Or, and what I realized as I was just chewing even on this was that there's an opportunity in light of our reality in God to have a positive outlook on life, where we step and we choose to say, but God, actually I deserve to be separated from you, and I deserve to be cut out because of my sin, but yet you have saved me through Jesus that was willing to give his life. So how can I not step with a positive approach, with a heart of thankfulness, and say, whatever I face, whatever lies before me, I want to approach it with that perspective and actually choose to be positive. Choose to see the glass half full. Because honestly, it could be very empty if not for the grace of God. And in closing, I want to read a verse, but before you put it up, Marlies, something that I really felt was just that, I think for some of us, even the first step to shifting our perspective was perhaps taking a step back and just refocusing your attention on Jesus and your relationship with him, where I think we so quickly get busy with different things. And I can't say that you're going to go from struggling with certain things, recognizing that your perspective might be wrong, to just swinging it to an eternal perspective like immediately. And to know that this is something that we're striving towards. We don't just achieve it in a day. But I really believe that the starting place is perhaps taking a step back and refocusing on our relationship with God. And with that, John 17 verse 3, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says, now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And I think often on one hand it is, but we just see eternal life as living eternally in heaven with God, which is what it is, and it's amazing, but actually recognizing that to a certain extent we're in eternity now, where eternal life is to know him and to have a relationship with him. And that's what it's about, even living eternally in heaven. It's about our relationship with him and knowing God the Father and Jesus Christ. And being able to shift that thing and say, hey, I'm actually going to approach life with this perspective that's flowing from my relationship with God and being with him. There's another verse in John 17, verse 24, where Jesus says to the Father, Lord, may those whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory and the fact that you have loved me before the foundations of the earth. And just really wanting to encourage us that I believe God's heart is for us to shift our gaze, but that we're not just going to be able to swing that thing, but actually going to him and approaching him and investing in our relationship with him, and from that place being able to say, hey, God, you turn my perspective off of these things and kind of just turn my eyes again to you, to live for you, to approach life the way that Paul did. And to, from that place, I believe, things will shift where there's genuinely an opportunity. And I want to say the foundation is kind of the eternal perspective, but that to a greater measure, it's just perspective in everything. That no matter what you face, there's an opportunity to choose. And as you choose, I believe we're either honoring God by moving forward in what he has for us or sliding. Does that make sense? So my heart is really to encourage us that our reality is one of eternity with God, if you belong to him. And that in light of that, there's an opportunity to take hold of that and to say, but this is mine. Therefore, I'm able to turn my eyes and to say, Jesus, thank you for what is mine, and help me to focus my eyes on that and to live from that place. So why don't we stand?